This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. I got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do. I got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do. She rocked to the east. She rocked to the west. But she's the gal that
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12 o'clock. Got a good look at the seven-footer from Trinity the other day, Ryan Kalkbrenner, and he gets better every day, hardest-working kid in the gym, has good post-up skills, but has some Euro stretch four skills, too. He is going to be a terrific player. I think he's going to be a pro. I'm not sure, saying NBA, but already Mizzou, SLU, Illinois are heavily involved. And he's already up to 19 scholarship offers, and that number will probably double by the time the summer is over. He's a terrific player, great kid, 4.0 student also. Be great to see him end up at Illinois, Mizzou, or SLU. All right, let's welcome to the program Rob Raines. Rob, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Frank. How are you?
Very good. You are a great follow on Twitter. Tell our listening audience what you try to do after every game in terms of analysis and opinions.
Well, since I'm not actually at a lot of the road games, I have to try to do something a little different. And what I do is just kind of look for kind of either statistical notes or historical notes or twists of kind of what happened, you know, explain what happened in the game, but also kind of put it into a little context and what it means as far as like, you know, what Weider's slump was at last night when he hit the home run, you know, 2 for 32 in June and no hits on 19 at bats right-handed. Just some kind of little statistical quirky facts like that.
Would Paul DeJong be an all-star if the Cardinals didn't have to have an all-star on the team?
I don't think so. And I think his appearance cost Fernando Tatis a spot on the team, too.
Yeah, boy, you're right. Yeah, I never thought of it like that. How about him, by the way? Have you seen...
Pretty good player. Pretty darn good player, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be the greatest of all time, but in terms of, like, scintillating and attention-grabbing with the hair and the speed and the power and the arm... I haven't seen many
really,
like him.
I'm not really a fan of the hair, but I like the player.
A little better than his father was, although his father had some talent.
Different kind of player. Yeah. You know, I think the kid runs a little better than his dad did.
All right. Let me get to one trade thought before we dissect the present Cardinals. What's going on, you think, with the Madison Bumgarner sweepstakes, and do you think the Cardinals could be a legitimate player?
Yes. And I think that they would rather do a deal like that because of the short-term nature of it. Obviously, it's going to affect what you have to give up in exchange, but it also limits your financial responsibility going forward. It gives you a little more flexibility that if you do want to, you know, talk about re-signing him this winter, you have the option of doing that. So I think the Giants have to move him. I think there's no way he re-signs there as a free agent. And if you trade him now, they could still re-sign him if he becomes a free agent. The Yankees did it with Chapman, you know, a couple of years ago. So there's really no incentive for them not to trade him. They're just going to hold him out for the you know, bidding war and see what they could get. And I think part of the competition to trade for him is going to be depending on what Cleveland does with Trevor Bauer, what Toronto does with Marcus Stroman. I think there's a couple other guys who could be available, and clubs that are competing for one are probably going to be competing for all three. But what the asking price for those two guys is going to be higher because they're under contract for a longer term than just the rest of this season.
Could I ask you to put together a realistic?
You're going to do that.
Yes. Go ahead. Give us a couple names that could probably work.
The Giants need outfielders. That's number one. They have nobody in the outfield. Cardinals have a lot of outfielders. The Giants need pitching. Cardinals have probably a pitcher or two that they could put in the deal. You're not going to trade, your top five prospects for a short-term rental. I don't think. I don't think there's any. Maybe even not even a top 10 prospect. But I mean, I would think you could trade. We don't know what their thoughts are on Tyler O'Neill right now. But I mean, somebody of that type of player, maybe Randy Arozarena, who's having got off to a really good season after he got healthy here finally at Memphis. Maybe an Adolis Garcia. You're not going to trade Dylan Carlson. You're not going to trade, that kind of deal. You're not going to trade, any of those kind of guys, Kisner or anybody like that. But if you could trade him one of your young outfielders and maybe one of your young starting pitchers who's close to being ready for the big leagues, perhaps an Austin Gomber, that type of player, maybe Ponce de Leon, somebody of that caliber who's, you know, proven that they can get outs in the big leagues and close to, they're just really kind of don't have a spot here. I could think, you know, a two and then maybe another lesser level, you know, long kid, you know, farther away in the lower levels of the farm system. Something like that, I think, makes sense.
Well, you think that Tyler O'Neill, Gomber, and then some other prospect could be enough?
I mean, let me put it that way. I don't know if it'd be enough. I don't know if that's enough for the Giants. It would be probably about what I would be willing to spend. Let me put it that way. I would be hesitant to give more than that for a guy that you're only going to have for, you know, 2.5 months. And it depends, too. Do you make the trade on July 2nd or do you make the trade on July 31st? I mean, you know, if you're talking 3 months or you're talking 2 months, I think that makes a difference, too, in the kind of return that you're going to get on the player.
Speaking of punts, you had the nugget there as the most strikeouts by a Cardinal reliever since Al Hrabowski in 1974?
Yeah.
That's
but
insane.
Think about it. How many times does a relief pitcher to get 9 strikeouts, number one, you have to pitch a minimum of 3 innings.
Yeah.
And you know, Tyler Lyons had 8, I think, once a few years ago. But you have to probably talking about pitching at least 4 innings. And, you know, unless a, you know, starting pitcher leaves early, as he did the other day, I mean, now, especially in today's game, relief pitchers just don't throw 4 or 5 innings in a game.
All right. What about O'Neill? Are you under the belief that, okay, Marcelo Zuna's hurt, let's try this for 3 straight weeks? Or maybe if he's striking out a lot, you just can't do that?
I hate to put him out there every night when I also want to see what Lane Thomas can do. I'm right now, I'm probably of the opinion that Thomas is a better prospect than Tyler O'Neill. And not in terms of power. I mean, O'Neill's going to hit more home runs, but I think just the overall, you know, ability to play the game, play defense, to run. You know, and O'Neill's okay, but, I mean, he just strikes out so darn much and just really is not and, I mean, there's 2 ways to look at it. Okay, number one, and you're answering part of my own question, I mean, but, you know, he really hasn't had a chance to play for an extended period of time on a daily basis to see what he could do. But when he has had that opportunity to play on a limited basis, the results just haven't been there at the big league level. So I don't know. It's going to be really an interesting thing to see how they handle this with those in and being out, if that is what they do. I think they'll get him the first shot. I just don't think he gets to play all 3 weeks unless he's producing.
How would you handle Edmund and third base with Matt Carpenter?
That's going to be a tricky question. I like Tommy Edman a lot. I've seen him for the last couple of years playing, and I think he can play. He can play anywhere. I think what you do is you basically rotate him. I mean, I think, you know, Carpenter's going to play. I mean, face it. I mean, the club that you have right now, the Cardinals club. I know everybody's talking about, you know, trades and this and that. If Matt Carpenter doesn't hit the rest of the season, if Paul Goldschmidt doesn't hit the rest of the season, it doesn't make a darn bit of difference what else you do, because you're not going to win. I mean, those are the 2 guys that this club is built around that have to produce. And if they can't do it and don't do it for whatever reason, I mean, you're not going to sit them on the bench. You're not going to – they're going to play. So, you know, does he have to hit leadoff? No. I would not bet Matt Carpenter leadoff unless he got really, really hot. I would keep Edmund at the leadoff spot, and I would rotate him between second, short, and third. Give those other guys an occasional day off and play, you know, 3 or 4 times a week.
Because he hit 36 homers last year, and he was had some of the most, you know, terrific stretches in baseball – I think we believe that he can turn this thing around, but there's also a distinct possibility that this is the beginning of the decline of his career.
Right. Correct. Yeah, and that's the tough position to be in. I mean, you don't know that without playing the guy. You know, I mean, you don't know if he can turn it around unless he plays. You know, you've got to think that he will, because he's not that old. I mean, you got to think that Paul Goldschmidt's track record of being successful all these years is not, you know, going to suddenly can't play anymore. Suddenly can't hit. Although I think you and I've had the conversation before. Anybody who is traded, a veteran player, and comes over to a new team, and now especially one who's signed a new contract, I just think that first year is awfully tough. So I mean, I'm kind of still of the opinion of you almost throw out that first year and then, you know, to see what happens after that. So I'm certainly not ready to give up on Paul Goldschmidt, but by any means, I still think he's a terrific player. I still think he's going to be the best player on this team for the next several years.
The Cardinals had 3 center fielders on the roster. At one time, 4, but just go back a little bit when you had Bader, Grichuk, and Pham in the organization. If you had to move forward with those guys, how would you rank them in terms of Bader, Pham, and Grichuk?
In terms of long-term potential success?
Yeah, who would you rather have, like, for the next 3 or 4 years of those 3? And put them in order.
Fam probably right now because he plays with an edge. You know, I mean, I think that's the biggest difference is he's a fiery guy. I mean, I think and I think part of what he got himself traded here was because of the stuff he said, not because necessarily how he played. And I just think that didn't sit well with certain parts of the organization. So and sometimes that happens. But I think, you know, he's you know, what is he, 31 now, maybe 32. So he's not going to have a long career, long-term success, but it took a while to get him to be successful, kind of like Jose Martinez. But I think if the other guys still have probably lesser long-term, more long-term questions, I guess, because they're younger, so you're going to, you know, have more years to develop, but or more years to not develop. Whereas Fam, you know, you know what you're going to get probably for the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, well, who would you rather have, Randall Grichuk or Harrison Bader?
I'd rather have Bader. But I still think there's a lot of questions about his hitting. I mean, problem with Bader, you know, Bader and Wong are kind of probably in the same category with this year's club. If Goldsmith, Carpenter, you know, Ozuna, you know, DeJong, if those guys, Molina, if those guys are all hitting like you know they're capable of doing, then you're probably not really paying a lot of attention to what Bader and Wong are doing offensively because they're, you know, doing so well in Gold Glove caliber defense, helping you win games in other ways. But when guys aren't hitting off, you know, hitting what they're supposed to be hitting, then you look at the whole lineup and you say, well, look at this guy. He's got 2 hits in the last month. Look at this guy. He's at 230, you know. So that puts more attention on their offense, not because of really any different expectations of what you, you know, thought they would do, but just because you notice it because nobody's hitting.
Yeah, on the Grichuk-Bader thing is we know that if Randall Grichuk plays, he's going to end up with 25 home runs. And he's pretty good at everything else. Maybe he's not quite as good defensively as Harrison Bader. But with Bader, we may be talking about a guy who hits 215 and ends up with, you know, 10 home runs.
Yeah. I don't think if Bader hits 215 and 10 home runs, he's playing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, he has, you know, I mean, that's too much of ability just to play defense. I mean, he might be your fourth or fifth outfielder. He might still be in the big leagues and going as a defensive replacement, but he's not going to be in an everyday starting lineup in the big leagues and hit 210. That's not going to happen.
All right, let's get to some more positive things. The pitching has been a little better. Miles Michaelis had a good outing. Suddenly, Michael Wacha has become a better pitcher lately, and Wainwright's, if he's in that 4 or 5 slot as a starting pitcher, I'll take what he's given us.
Yeah, I think, you know, the guy that probably is underachieved at this point is Flaherty. You know, I think that he's the guy that everybody kind of expected, me included, expected to kind of be the ace and the leader of the staff. And he kind of seems like he's taking a step back a little bit from where he was last year. And that happens with some young pitchers as well, too. You know, the hitters have now got a book on him. They've made the adjustments on him. Now he's got to respond back. So, yeah, I still am very bullish on both him and Hudson. Yeah, and if you can get the performances that you got out of Wainwright, Walker, and Michaelis, I mean, there's not really anything to dislike about the rotation. It's good enough to win. Especially if, you know, it's not good enough to win if you have to throw a shutout every night to win, but it's good enough to win if you can score 4 or 5 runs a game.
Down on the farm, you're a guy that actually sees these guys in person throughout the regular season from time to time. Randy Arozarena is now up to 370 in 18 games in Memphis, and he had that 960 OPS combined, I think, in AA and AAA. How special is this guy? I know you were high on Dylan Carlson. What about this young man?
Yeah, he's a good player, but he's not. I mean, Dylan's a future All Star player. Dylan's a future, you know, we've talked about before, 2020, maybe even, you know, 30 home run kind of potential guy. You know, Arozarena is a good player, can probably be a good outfielder in the big leagues, but he's more of a Oscar Mercado type, if I had to guess. I mean, I think he's more of a guy that can be a role player and on a good team and be a nice player. But I don't. He's not going to be an All Star in the big leagues, I don't think.
How are you with the bullpen and Carlos as the closer?
I'm okay with that. I think right now, you know, it's a better fit for his shoulder situation. I mean, whether he's pitching the ninth inning or the eighth inning doesn't really affect the shoulder at all. You know, he's still got to run out on him to get an inning or so every night. And maybe you'll bring him in the eighth inning if you need to, because he has, you know, maybe the ability to stretch out a little bit, especially if he hasn't pitched for several days. And I think that kind of will keep his focus better too. If he's coming into a game, knows he has to get 3 outs and the Cardinals get a win. You know, we saw that at the end of last season. It seemed to help his mental, you know, focus on what he was doing out there. So I'm okay with that. I mean, obviously losing Jordan Hicks is a big blow. It's going to affect him not only the rest of this year and next year, you know, as well. But, you know, I think they probably have about as good a replacement in Martinez as anybody could have.
And finally, an overview. Are you a half empty or half filled guy as we speak? I mean, you could be half full and think, hey, they got most of their guys are below expectations and they're still only three games out of first place. Or you could be half empty that, hey, it's a 500 team and they're not going to get much better.
They gained a half game in the standings in the month of June by playing 500.
Wow.
Nobody in the division played above 500 for the month of June. So you have to be encouraged by that. I mean, your half-empty approach would be, well, okay, the Cubs and Brewers are going to play better than that. But your half-full thing is the Cardinals are going to play better than that, too. You pick up a game, one game a month, the last 3 months, you're tied for first place at the end of the season. So, it's just one of those crazy, wacky years that everybody in the division seems like they're going to knock everybody off. Doesn't seem like anybody's going to win, 100 games, maybe not 95 games. So, maybe 92 wins will win the division this year. So, as I say, it all comes down to Carpenter and Goldschmidt playing better than they have to this point. If they play, up to their normal statistics for the second half of the season, I think the Cardinals will be fine, even without making any outside moves. I still believe in everybody else on this team, but those are the two guys that have to lead you, that have to carry you. If they don't, I just don't think it makes any difference what else you do.
Great stuff. All right, sir. We appreciate your time. We will talk down the road. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it.
All right, Rob Range joining us. Brian, reaction on anything there? Jumping out at you there? It's a lot
Rob is a glass half full kind of guy, so I'll give him credit for the optimism. But everything goes back to 20-10, right? Their record on after May 1st, they have the worst record in the National League since then.
Since May
1st.
The worst record in the National League
worst
since May 1st.
Record in the National
and
League
it looks since. Like it, too, if you just watch them play, do an eye test.
What is that number?
The record is 21-31, a half game worse than the New York Mets.
I wonder how Mike Schilt could spin that one, by the way.
Because Rob Reigns and Mike Schilt. Schilt has mentioned 20-10. Reigns mentioned that they played a bad June and still gained ground in the division because the Cubs and the Brewers have played poorly. But there's a way to look at that differently, and this is my glass half empty approach to it, is that if you had just played 500 ball since May 1st, 26-26, you'd be in first place.
And I didn't. Yeah. What I disagreed with Rob was, Oscar Mercado, who we traded to the Indians for what is now seems to be nothing, is a role player. I disagree. I think him in Cleveland. I mean, if you could see him in St. Louis, I would think he's much more than a role player for this team.
I think if Mercado were up here, though, we'd be talking about him the same way we talk about Tyler O'Neill or Harrison Bader. I don't think people would be ecstatic or thrilled to see him. I will say, I think he was spot on about, I know we're frustrated by Bader's offense. I know Wong has caught some heat. He's right that if the offense is the way the offense was expected to be, and Wong and Bader are still where they are now, we wouldn't be talking about them. Wong is 8 points below his career average OPS this year. Bader is 31 below, and his sample size is much smaller. So this could just be more what he is. Molina is 69 points below his career OPS this season.
Wow.
Matt Carpenter is 131 points below his career OPS this season. Paul Goldschmidt is 175 points below his career OPS this season. If they were even closer to where Wong is, if they were just 8 points below their career OPS, then we're not talking about bringing in Bumgarner to kind of kick some tail or try to ruffle up the clubhouse. We're talking about acquiring Bumgarner to solidify a postseason rotation.
All right, let's take a short time out. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 The Fan.